Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
We get this from the 8th Flooring Center chat line off the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. We have head-to-head over KU and BYU, but if TCU should wind up in that, it mixes it up. UT losing knocked them out of the fourth spot contention last night. Yeah, and it may be even worse for them than that. But who knows? We'll see. When it's all said and done. I did see this, Jamie, from last night, the five bubble teams to keep an eye on. This is a Yahoo Sports article. And there's going to be a variety of bubble teams to kind of keep an eye on. But they list Colorado, future Big 12 member. The Buffs are 20-9, 11-7 in the Pac-12. They play at Oregon and Oregon State to finish up. They've won four straight. Coming into this, they cite Providence, a team that is 18-11. They're 9-9 in the Big East. They play at Georgetown and then against UConn. UConn won the Big East, and of course they're the defending national champion. They appear to be pretty good again this year. St. John's, with their coach Rick Pitino, is trying to get yet another team into the NCAA tournament after he blasted his team publicly. They've somehow responded. They're 17-12. They're 9-9 in the Big East. They play at DePaul, team that fired its coach, and they take on Georgetown. Boy, back in the day, that would have been a delicious matchup. I'm not so sure that it's very delicious anymore, but still, it brings back good memories, doesn't it, of previous Big East battles over the years. But that's been quite some time.
It's what I grew up with, Big East ball.
Yeah, no question. And then another future Big 12 member, Utah. They're 18-11, 9-9 in the Pac-12. They finish up at Oregon State and at Oregon. So how can that be? Because that's what they list for Colorado, too. But
it'll just be opposite.
Yeah, I guess. It could be opposite. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I didn't look at that closely, but anyway, those are some. And then Wake Forest out of the ACC, they finish up with Georgia Tech and Clemson. They're 18-11, 10-8. But I thought it interesting, two future Big 12 teams. So, with the loss of Oklahoma and Texas, at least on the basketball side, and we've talked about this, it's really not going to get any easier. In fact, it may be as hard or even maybe a little bit tougher, depending on how you look at it, because you'll add Arizona to the mix as well, and they always have a top flight basketball program. So there's no cupcakes, even though there's teams that don't have very good records. There's no cupcakes when it comes to Big 12 basketball. So we shall see. Do you like the chaos in the basketball? Because it seems like we sure got it. I mean, and you have to earn your way in. And there is a selection committee, obviously, and a selection of 68 teams. And then, of course, there's, 32 or whatever that get the automatic bids. And then the others get selected. And there's some that are no-brainers. It's more about who you're going to match them up with, what's their seed going to be, where they're going to play. And then there's probably, at the end of the day, I don't know, 10, 15 teams that, depending on how they do this weekend, could play their way in or out of the NCAA tournament. So it certainly makes it fun this time of year, kind of watching scores and watching teams and projections and things like that. And it's fun for the Red Raiders to be in the mix, because this was a mix we weren't in last year. It was a disturbing mix that we were in last year when they headed to the Big 12 tournament, and you knew that basically you were going to have a change in regime, and you hope that you could figure out a way to find some success and get your way back, and who the coach was going to be and all those kinds of things. And lo and behold, man, the little fairy dust that you sprinkled over your basketball program turned out to be good juju, Jamie.
Yeah. So to answer your question, do I like the chaos?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yes. As long as it's good for the Red Raiders.
Okay.
I mean, the rest of it, I mean, the 15 bubble teams and all that kind of stuff, and who's in and who's out. That, you know, as long as the Red Raiders are in, I'm excited about it.
Okay.
Chaos is great.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's just yeah. I don't know. It just is what it is.
Right. It becomes uninteresting.
Yes.
Okay. I guess if I'm going to ask you a question, I should let you answer it as opposed to just continuing to babble on. That's. But you were patient. You were nice. You didn't raise your hand and go, whoa, you asked me a question. Now let me answer. that's a failure. At any rate, so it should be fun. Should be fun tonight. I don't know what the atmosphere is going to be like at Gallagher Iowa tonight, because I just got a feeling like it's not going to be, there's not a whole lot there for them to play for. So it's kind of yours for the taking tonight, I would think. And you could probably want to create your own energy and all those kinds of things, don't you think?
I wouldn't guess it'll be a raucous crowd, but at the same time, sometimes those are the hardest atmospheres to play in. Like you're just mentioning there about you kind of got to create the excitement yourself. And so sometimes that makes it difficult and it kind of lulls you to sleep. So hopefully that's not the case with our guys.
Yeah, and it may be good to play quicker, you know, coming off the win over West Virginia. Some may say, oh man, they sure could have used an extra day of rest, but I mean, they really didn't have, not that you're going to celebrate a victory over West Virginia, because, you know, they're a lower division team than you, but still it's a road game. It's a hard place to play, but they didn't really get much time to go woohoo, you know. They had to almost start to focus in right away on Sunday, and then they traveled yesterday, and they'll play tonight. So not really kind of an opportunity to kind of let your guard down, especially, but you know, with what they have tonight.
This isn't really a quick turnaround. I mean, the majority, I know you play on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, but this is a norm. This is kind of the way the schedule goes.
Well, I guess the quick turnaround comes from,
I know you traveled and you're going to travel again, but I mean, it's, you know, if we're not used to playing Saturday to Tuesday, mm-hmm. at this point of the season, you know, half of these guys are 3, 4, 5 years into their careers, and they should be ready.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they should be used to it.
Maybe so. I guess I just was thinking about, you know, from just playing late on Saturday and getting back in late in the night and then, you know, turning around pretty quick. I mean, you're not wrong on the, but I mean, it's a little more rare to go to have to travel Saturday night and then again Tuesday. I mean, usually it seems like there's a home game on Saturday or home game on Tuesday, not a back-to-back travel day. That was kind of really my only
maybe
thought
there.
On that. This from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. I think that probably he's a little bit off, but maybe not. Hack said there would be 7 people there.
That seems a little low to me.
7. I wonder why didn't he say 9 or why didn't he say 11?
Well, you gotta imagine that Oklahoma State's at least bringing 15 people to their own game.
Yeah.
Right.
Plus maybe he meant it. Maybe it's his 7 family members decked in orange.
His entourage.
Maybe he knows. Yeah, he knows his crew's coming. They'll be there to cheer on the Pokes.
Or maybe there to cheer on him, you know, and cheer on the Red Raiders and join the throng, right? That's allowed too, isn't it? Cross over.
Sure it is.
Cross over and help out, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. This day in sports history comes up next here this morning on the Morning Drive. We'll take your thoughts. If you want to throw in a score prediction for tonight, you certainly can. Yates Flooring Center chat line is open. Visual Edge IT hotline is open. That number is 806-771-0973. Hoops tonight for the Red Raiders, and then they'll close it out for the regular season at home Saturday against the Baylor Bears. That's a 5:00 tip. Man, you win tonight, and that could be just a huge, huge game for you on Saturday with a lot of implications.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
March the 5th, 2024. Here is Jeff McGuire with This Day in Sports History.
Anybody got an octopus I can rent for a little bit? Using a couple extra arms in here. 1955. In here, I can use a little extra couple arms right now.
Okay.
1955, the second ACC men's basketball tournament took place. NC State beats Duke 87-77. In 64, Atlanta Mayor Ivan Allen Jr., and I have to say it that slow because I want to say Allen Iverson in this one, and I don't know why, announces a baseball team is moving to Atlanta.
Oh, nice. From Milwaukee.
He didn't say where, just said that one was moving.
Okay.
1982, Major League pitcher Gaylord Perry, who had won 297 wins, signs with Seattle Mariners.
He signed with a lot of teams.
1996, Earl Weaver and Jim Benning elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. 1997, Tommy Lasorda, Nellie Fox, and Willie Wells inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame.
Who? Willie who?
Willie Wells.
Willie Wells. Jamie, you familiar with Mr. Wells?
I don't recognize that name at all.
I don't either.
And in 2016, Keenan Evans and Devontae Williams racked up 20 points apiece on a combined 12 of 16 shooting from the field as their Texas Tech Red Raiders men's basketball team secured an 80-71 senior day win over Kansas State.
Oh, nice.
It is National Cheese Doodle Day.
I think I'm out on the cheese doodle, Jamie.
I like Cheetos, so yeah. I mean, they're just the generic branded Cheetos.
Yeah, I'm definitely out. That I don't like any of the Cheetos, cheese puffs, whatever. I'm out. Cheese balls. Any of that.
Happy birthday. And this feels weird, by the way, to only do this one. But happy birthday, former Texas Tech Red Raider pitcher, Ryan Shetter.
Why does it seem weird?
Because we're missing half of it.
Oh.
Dushek's birthday was, I think it was when we were in Arlington.
Yeah.
That felt weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are one person. So, they should share a birthday.
No, they're not. Their birthdays aren't too far apart.
Also birthday today, Michael Irvin turns 58. Eva Mendez is 50. Justin Fields, 25. Joe Exotic is 61. And Paul Konerko is 48. And on this day in history, we could talk about the Boston Massacre. Or Winston Churchill delivering the famous Iron Curtain speech.
Oh, nice.
And really, you should look those up if you don't know what those are. I mean, those are really important moments in history. But when I mention the slingshot, the boomerang, and the frisbee, the name Whammo,
right?
Comes to mind, right? Mm-hmm. Well, founder Spud Mellon and Richard Kern saw children in Australia using a wooden ring and spinning it around their waist. The two got to work on a plastic version, and on this day, in 1963, the hula hoop is released and sweeps across the country as the latest fad. While the hype was short-lived as the country moved on to the next great fad, it never truly died. According to Ripley's Believe It or Not, in April of 2004, a performer at the Big Apple Circus in Boston simultaneously spun 100 hoops around her body. And that is this day in sports history.
Jamie, I know you can hoop, but can you hula hoop?
I mean, I can do it a little bit. I'm not like an expert at it by any stretch of the imagination, but I can swing it around a little while.
You can? Okay. Which of the stars that you manage on a daily basis do you think could hula hoop the longest?
I'm going to go with one of the younger guys.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm going to go with, and taller is better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to guess it's not Jackson. He's got a bad back. You need your back and hula hooping.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Ben Poorman.
Okay. Who do you think would say that they could unequivocally hula hoop the most or the longest?
Chuck Hines.
No, he's out. Okay. I can't do that.
Probably Clint Scott.
Hines Chuck. That's who I would say if I can't say Chuck.
Clint Scott. I think Clint doesn't look like a guy that he would even desire to hula hoop. I wonder if he's ever even seen one. He's He's one of our younger guys.
Not, I mean, yeah, he's not incredibly. Clint's got that. How do you say it?
Bravado.
I can do everything the best vibe.
It's a disease that many of us
Kansas
suffer from.
Confidence.
Yeah. It's a disease that many of us suffer from. There's no doubt about it. It makes it unbecoming.
It makes it fun.
Makes it somewhat unbecoming. All those kinds of things. All right, 6:52 this morning. Here on the Morning Drive, thoughts, comments, Yates Flooring Center chat line. Latest top 25 basketball poll is out. Houston remains number one. Do you think, if you had to guess a Final Four team right now, would you put Houston in that mix?
Sure, I would. The way they play defense and as good as their guards are, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
UConn is number two. I think it'd be hard to keep them out. Purdue is three. They won't make it past the Sweet 16. They never do. Tennessee is four. Arizona, future Big 12 team, five. Iowa State is six. North Carolina is seven. Marquette, eight. Duke, nine. And Creighton is number 10. Baylor is 11th. Kansas drops to 14. And then BYU is in at number 20. And that's it as far as the Big 12 teams are concerned. Man,
anything you can do, I can do better.
Got to think that BYU is the newcomer of the year, right, for basketball in this conference. Maybe, well, Houston, obviously.
I think Houston, yeah. Probably is that.
But I mean, okay, how about this? Let me better state it. The surprise newcomer of the year.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, because you expected Houston to be really good.
You expected Houston to be really good. And it feels like Houston's been with us all along anyway.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Drive, Red Raider Baseball this afternoon, 2:30. We'll have it on 100.7 The Score, just so you can adjust your listening time there a little bit if you need to. 3 o'clock first pitch from New Mexico today, Albuquerque to be specific. So if you're doing business in Albuquerque today, Jamie and Gus could use some company, right? If somebody's there.
Yes. If you're a Red Raider, man, yeah. come hang out with us.
Yeah, come say hi, shake your hand, all that kind of stuff. Say howdy doody. Howdy doody.
I don't say howdy. That's an Aggie thing.
Okay, I got you. I understand.
I
understand. My grandmother used to say howdy doody. I mean, she didn't know Aggies from, you know, Longhorns from anything, you know, but she'd say howdy doody. You know, that'd be
seems like a nice enough thing to say.
Yeah, it's just being friendly.
I've had worse things said to me.
Okay. the obsession with Warren Washington's injury is laughable. That's from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. He's back when he's back. Better know how to win consistently without him, or you can just fold up the tent. Okay. And this person adds a little shot at the Lady Raiders. Well, they haven't folded up the tent, but I mean, you've lost nine in a row. Everything tastes like sewer water, I can assure you. Let's see here. With the games Warren Washington has missed already, and if he doesn't play until the postseason, if he plays in the postseason, will he be rusty when he comes back? How much will he actually help? Those are good questions. I mean, it's a point with regard to the obsession with Warren Washington, but I mean, I get it. I'm sure that he would be a little rusty, but it kind of is what it is. You'd love to have him back, but you want to make sure it's for the right reasons too, not just trying to get you a couple of games. But those are just a couple of points. You can continue to weigh in if you'd like on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. All right. What do you think about the old Dak Prescott deal? Here's the thing. He's under contract right now. He's a $59.4 million salary cap hit for him, and then he's a free agent for 2025. He's confident that it's going to get extended. He was at a charity event yesterday with Troy Aikman. He said, I'm definitely confident. Obviously, it helps the team. It's important for those numbers. Both sides understand that. Everything's great. It'll happen. This is the end of a four-year, $160 million deal. The 59.4 counts this year, and And it's an albatross as the Cowboys are kind of looking to restructure their number. Now, Jerry Jones, speaking at the NFL Combine, said this: "We don't need to, but we can if everybody wants to solve it. You can get in and get on the same page and see if you can come to an agreement. If you can't, what we have in place works. And so obviously if you do it one way, you'll be working through some of the other areas on the team in a different way, but you can't really plan on that until you see when you're there." Doesn't necessarily sound like a guy that really wants to get it done to a degree, or is he just making a quote in the paper just to kind of gamesmanship, so to speak?
Yeah, I think that sounds like that to me. Sounds a little bit like this is just business, so we're looking for leverage on either side.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I just wonder, here's the conspiracy theorist in me. So you got Mike McCarthy, who's basically a lame duck because he's operating without an extension this year. He's got just this year left on his contract. I read an article in the Dallas Morning News about how a number of the new assistants and people that have been brought in, one-year deals. And you got this deal here with Dak, 1 year left on his agreement. Is Jerry saying, hey, I'm all in. I'm just not all in on this year. I'm all in on a year after this year.
Yeah, that sounds like a conspiracy theory to me. I think Jerry's all in every year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. he's coming off, Dak is, one of his best regular seasons, 36 touchdowns, I should say, just 9 interceptions. Cowboys went 12-5, but they lost to the Packers. He threw 2 interceptions. They lose 48-32 to Green Bay, and one of those was a pick 6. Cowboys are 2-5 in the playoffs with him and haven't advanced past the divisional round. Is that Dak's problem, or is that just he's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys and that's what people expect that position to perform better? But there's still 10 other guys on the offense and 11 guys on the defense and guys on special teams and, you know, backups, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And none of them are paid $54 million.
Right, right, right. That's exactly right. Right, 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 right. So we'll see. We'll see if let me ask you this. If you were Jerry Jones, would you say, man, I just can't do this anymore with Dak. I got to go find somebody that's younger, that we can not necessarily grow old with, but we can – that could perform at the same level of Dak, but do it a lot cheaper and allow me to sign a lot better players around him to give us a better chance to go deeper in the playoffs.
It sure would be gutsy. I think we all would be surprised. At the same time, I do think it would be the right move.
Yeah, and then you kind of look at what Denver did, basically telling Russell Wilson, here's $39 million. Go away, and we're going to take an $85 million dead cap hit, and that's the biggest in the NFL's history.
Now, I don't think Dak's skill set has eroded like Russell Wilson's has, mm-hmm. but I do think that it's it just doesn't feel like this is going to work with Dak getting paid that much money. It's really what it boils down to.
Right. Right. No, I think you're right. Because define working for Dak. Working for Dak is winning a Super Bowl, right?
You've been really good in the regular season at times. You just haven't got it done.
Yeah. Syntex. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
In the postseason, when it matters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Syntex Inc. says this: Jerry will overpay Dak because that's what he does. Well, that's certainly what he has done. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I expect.
This McCarthy isn't going to be able to recruit with just a year on his contract. Ha! I think that's sarcasm.
The NIL money is going to really have to play large.
Right.
You got Dak signed for another year. Let him play out his contract. Dak says, "I want $60 million a year." Go find it, Dak. Good luck. Let me know how that goes for you.
Go get it somewhere else.
Well, here's the problem. That's why I said, you know, with everybody having just a year left, including Dak, if you don't redo his deal and reduce that cap number, and it hampers you in terms of being able to sign other guys.
You know what's going
to
hamper you more? Paying $60 million a year for Dak Prescott.
Okay, then it's going to be what I just said. That kind of got poo-pooed when I said, basically, he's not going to be all in. He's kind of all in. He'll be all in next year with a new with new people in place.
Well, this next year, he's still on the Cowboys roster. He's got one more year left.
This year is right. It. 2025,
that's he goes. The next season. We haven't started it yet.
Well, I'm talking about this coming year, okay? That's what I'm talking about. Just
your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to talk a little Red Raider football schedule again today.
Okay.
I feel like I've been in a Red Raider football mode a lot lately with my questions of the day for some reason.
That's all right.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
I guess I'm just anxious for the season to get here. I guess. Okay. All right, here's my question for you guys today. Mm-hmm. What game on the schedule do you think people are not giving the respect it deserves, but you think it's a little bit sneaky scary? I know Chuck's answer, but we'll see.
Well, I just think the low-hanging fruit, man, for me is just, I mean, I've still got PTS, whatever.
PTSD. Yeah, you're the first two. Keep on going.
I'm still concerned about North Texas. I just feel like that's. I just feel like that game is going to be closer than what people think, and we're all going to walk into the stadium and go mean green, and then. You know, we're going to be walking out going, ugh, that was awful. Glad we won it.
What was their record last year, Chuck?
I don't know. I feel like...
They got a lot. Who are they bringing back? They got a lot bringing back?
It's just the logo. Just seeing that logo and that name, it just makes me wonder, why would we do that? Can't we find somebody else to play? You know, everything that you say, Jamie, makes complete sense. Everything that I say with regard to that makes no sense. I understand that.
North Texas was 5-7 last year.
Yeah.
With a 58-21 loss to Cal, a 46-39 loss to FIU, and a 27-24 loss to Navy. They lost to UTSA 37-29.
Do they have a former Red Raider that's coaching them?
Yes, they do. Eric Morris.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
They beat Tulsa 35-28.
I'm just telling you. It's just concerning. Somebody says, ask Chuck how many times North Texas has beat Texas Tech over the last 24 years. Okay.
Chuck, how many times has North Texas beat Tech in the last 24 years?
Probably none.
I'm just following the directions of the chat.
Probably none. Okay. Probably none.
So you're sticking with North Texas?
I'm sticking with North Texas.
Okay. I'm actually going the game before. And I think you're a better team than Washington State. And it is on the road. And this team was okay on the road. It wasn't great on the road. And your last on-the-road non-conference game didn't go very well. You could win that game by 40. I could also absolutely seeing it be like your game last year, where you think you're walking in and it's going to be a cakewalk, and it was anything but. The Washington State's my answer to this question.
Okay, I think Washington State was one that I would have on my list of sneaky scary ones as well, just because early season road games, you just don't know what you're going to get. You know, they'll be excited to play the Red Raiders, all that good stuff. And we saw you struggle on the road in that first road game last year. And then really you've struggled in the Joey McGuire tenure so far. So I think that one makes sense. I'm going to go late in the season in November. I feel like November is a really tough month for the Red Raiders. But I feel like everybody's focused in on the road trip to Iowa State and Stillwater and even the home game against West Virginia. I agree with all that. I think those are going to be tougher games. But I think people are not paying attention to Colorado, and I just don't know what we're going to get there because they were 4-8 last year, but they lost a ton of close games against some pretty good teams because we know the Pac-12 was actually a pretty good football conference a season ago. And yeah, they got thumped a few times, but they lost some close games as well. And so I'm just not sure what Colorado is going to be. And so I'm a little bit nervous of what the Buffs are going to be like this year. So that's one that, for whatever reason, I'm a little bit nervous about. Maybe it's because I just really, really do not want to lose to Deion. Maybe that factors into it. But yeah, that's one that I'm a little bit nervous about.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how they finish this year versus last year, because last year they got off to this incredibly hot start. They were the darling of the nation, you know, game day and Deion and prime time and all that kind of stuff. But they didn't finish strong. But they had some injuries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it'll be interesting to see too. How much of the hype for Deion does it sustain itself? Because, you know, sometimes that hype kind of burns out. I mean, we saw some of that here last year too. I mean, there's a hell of a lot of hype going into our season, and that hype got doused pretty quickly with the Wyoming loss. So,
and if in this conversation we were talking about teams that it mattered how you did against them in the past, and you've had struggles with. I think you've had way more struggles with Colorado than you have North Texas.
Yeah, we had a really bad game up there, and we had a bad game here.
I can't think of a good game there
against Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to get my history book out.
The point. Like, mm-hmm. I would have to get the book out to remember a win there.
Sure, no, that's fair.
I have fonder memories of Kansas State than I do Colorado.
Oh man, not.
I can remember the last one for that.
You can remember Dwayne Slay. Period.
Yeah, I was gonna say, come on. That's
what's a positive moment you can remember ever against Colorado?
That's my point.
Yeah,
that's 100% my point.
And I'm saying, and again, that's why you can remember.
I want to say we beat him. I want to say we beat him in 2007. I want to say that that was a. I want to say that we did. I mean, we did not the year before.
I want to say we beat them every year.
Well, No. Yeah, I understand. And you did you get extra sleep last night that I'm not aware of? Man, that's pretty sharp. You know, you're pretty. No, in 2007 we lost to them 31-26. It was an 11 o'clock game. 2007.
Oh, the old 11 o'clocker.
See?
It'll do it to you every time.
Oh, okay. This off the 840 Center chat line. Maybe this will help us. Mm-hmm. Wes Welker broke the punt return record against Colorado.
Yeah, he sure did. Yep.
So now we got one.
We got one. Okay, well, that's...
I also remember an awful lot of...
Somebody said, and I couldn't tell you which one. Somebody said that a Tommy Tuberville team beat Colorado. Okay. I can't tell you that I recall that, but perhaps that's the case. Yeah, that was a Graham Harrell, Michael Crabtree game there in 2007 that I sure would like to have had back. Red Raiders gave up 17 in the third in that ball game. Colorado with 7 in the first, 7 in the second, 17 in the third. Tech with 13 in the third and 7 in the fourth. But it was just 6 points in the first half that did you in. Yay. All right, that's a little Jamie question of the day there. And that's a good question. And my paranoia for North Texas, yep, I'm going to be paranoid until late on the September the 14th when we finally – knock those guys off again.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I've never been a really good name, artist, and title. I'm just going to guess. Is this Boston that you're playing right here?
Just another band out of Boston.
That's nice. That's nice. Good morning with Jamie Lint and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Jamie, Boston fan on musically?
They're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. I like me some Boston. Again, I worked at a radio station for 40 years, and I'm terrible at name, artist, and title. but
you're pretty good at picking up sarcasm.
I am pretty good at picking up sarcasm. Yes. We come to you from the First United Bank studio, and look forward to hearing from you today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We'll have Red Raider baseball on the air for you today. 2:30 the broadcast time. 3:00. First pitch, they'll take on New Mexico today, and that'll be on 100.7 the score. Tabor Fast will go for the Red Raiders today. Anything in particular, aside from a win, that you're looking for today, Jamie?
A quick win.
Okay, a quick win, okay. Fish at work.
Yeah, I'd like to see a lot of guys come in from the bullpen, be efficient, throw strikes, and avoid big innings.
Okay.
For them.
All right. Yeah. And kind of just, you just kind of want to have a good feeling going into the weekend when you take on Texas here at home, right? I mean, that's kind of what you're looking for.
Lisa. The last two times the Red Raiders have come here, they have add leads, sometimes large, and the last two times they have left here, they have left on 11-10 matching scores on walk-off home runs for the Lobos. Ooh. Which doesn't come back to Lubbock with a lot of momentum.
Yeah, right.
Or, you know, a whole lot of like good vibes. Uh-huh. So if you're wanting that heading into the Longhorn series,
okay,
let's try to avoid that.
Okay, that'd be good, and obviously getting out of there with no injuries would also be exactly what you want to see, without question.
Sure.
All those things. High today is going to be 63. That's the from the Albuquerque weather desk. All right. Although this one says now a high of 66, southwest to southwest winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. That's nice. Won't have to deal with that a whole lot. There's basically no chance of precipitation. So, looks like a partly cloudy sky today for you there in the stands. Did you bring any sunscreen in addition to all the winter weather gear?
Yes.
Okay. Man, you are.
Yes.
You are
always
on it.
It's always in my backpack.
Who is Gus equal to your level of preparation from a tire standpoint? I mean, does he usually a guy that's got gloves and hats and coat and all the appropriate stuff?
I would say Gus is definitely adequately prepared, like for the all weather.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Your regular partner, he could show up in shorts and need a parka, right? Jeff Haxton.
There's no telling, man. Yeah, he's a shorts guy, so he would probably be in shorts either way.
Okay, so we'll have that for you today on 100.7 The Score. Red Raider basketball tonight, Texas Tech and Oklahoma State as they take on the Cowboys at Gallagher-Iba. We'll have it at 6, play-by-play at 7. You know, we didn't, and this is on me because I'm more the history guy, or at least I like it. I like kind of looking back at seasons and things like that. But the win for Texas Tech over West Virginia on Saturday gave the Red Raiders their 20th win of the season. So, again, you have a coach in their first year getting 20 wins. Mark Adams did that in the 21-22 season. And Bob Knight did that in the 2001-2002 season. The thing that's interesting to me is Tech has 17 20-win seasons in 99 years of college basketball. But when you look at kind of what's taken place since 2001, which was the Bob Knight era, so Coach Knight got there five times. Coach Beard got there two times. There's seven. Adams won and McCaslin won. There's nine. So nine of your 17 20-win seasons have come since the 01-02 year. So it kind of speaks to the level of basketball that we've become accustomed to here over the years.
Yeah, with what, like four different coaches that have gotten you those numbers?
Coach Knight, Coach Beard, Coach Adams, and Coach McCaslin. Yes, four different coaches. Prior to the 01-02 year, the last year that you...
Only four? What about Tubby Smith?
He did not get to 20.
He never got to 20.
He did not get to 20.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he probably would have because, you know, but he never got to 20. But what I was going to go back to was, you know, so prior to, you know, the Chris Beard 2018-19 Final Four year is the most in program history at 31-7. James Dickey's team that got to the Sweet 16 in 96 went 30-2, and then you had a Beard year that went 27-10. But the next best year after the Dickey year, you had to go back to 1975-76 with Gerald Myers, in which his team went 25-6. They won the Southwest Conference postseason tournament that year and then made it to the tournament. They beat Syracuse, Jamie, in the first round, 69-56, and then lost to Missouri in what they called the round of 16. The round of 32 was there in 1976, and then the round of 16. They didn't call it the Sweet 16 in those days, but technically that's a Sweet 16 appearance for the Red Raiders. So just a little bit of history if you needed that as you're walking around town today going, hey, the other night, that's the 17th time we got to 20 wins. And the fourth different coach since 01-02. Kind of speaks to the level of basketball that we've become accustomed to here in Lubbock, which is awesome. So we'll have Red Raider Hoops tonight at 6, play-by-play at 7 here on Double T 97.3, taking on an Oklahoma State team that has won just four games in Big 12 play, but don't look past them to Baylor on Saturday.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.